there any areas of the survey that you found particularly surprising, or something that you're like, wow, maybe I need to change my way of thinking on this? Is something I hadn't really thought of before? Anything like that that stood out?
Well, that's an excellent question. There's so much information in here, and it's valuable information that we're still digesting. I mean, we literally went over this a week ago. Yeah. I would say that I don't know if there's anything too surprising. I mean, we knew or felt, I mean, obviously I've been on the council for a long time. I get a lot of feedback from community members, particularly when I walk around.
Yeah.
And, you know, they tell me things that are consistent with this. So people love the fire department and the work, and we did extremely well in that area. Even in many of the police, the questions related to police, they were very positive with the terms of delivery of service and such. And we know, you know, things like city water is also very strongly appreciated and has a high quality. The things that were noted, right, enforcement of some of the codes related to lawns, you know, residential properties that may be going through some difficulties and enforcing some of the codes there. We know that. And in fact, you know, but yet, as people may know, a few years back, and it's probably almost a decade ago, we had some budget cuts. And so we kind of shifted things around, and we have fewer staff working on those specific issues.
Mm.
And so this is like, well, you know, perhaps we need to revisit that, you know, and maybe it's gotten to the point where, you know, it's a pendulum. So,
yeah.
You know, you swing it too far to one direction, and then people start to feel that, well, this is not kind of the, we want it to be a little bit better. On the other hand, I mean, you know, there's the big topic that came up, you know, and is reported in the news, which is real, is, you know, the city streets issue.
Yeah.
And we're very aware of this. And I think there's two issues. One is we're aware that our city streets are, and we've known for a while that we need to improve our city streets. And in fact, in 2016, we, as a council, we voted unanimously to support a bond issue of close to $10 million to deal with streets. And we've been putting that money into the community, and we're actually almost exhausted that money. And people who live on certain streets know that. The other thing that people need to know, which didn't come out in the work session, is the city has a program where we go through every street every year and we assess it for its quality and its need. And then based on that, we do a rank, you know, of which one is most problematic. And in that work, we don't like say, well, the alternative would be, well, let's do a little bit in Ward 3 and a little bit in Ward 4 and a little bit in Ward 6. We don't do it that way. Mm-hmm. And that may have been a misunderstanding from what came through if people were listening to the conversation. Mm-hmm. That's an important thing. So we rank them, and then which means prioritize, and then we go after those streets that are most damaged. The one thing that also needs to be said, we have a street that starts on the east side of the John Sibley underpass and goes to Grand Avenue and then all the way Grand Avenue. We know, and we've known for years, that is probably our most problematic main street, main artery. And we've been working diligently to get the state, because that's a state road. They control it. They're going to fix it. We're going to pony up a little money to do that. And we know that we're doing the engineering work right now, and we're pushing the state to move forward. And, you know, it's sad to say that we have to depend on the state for that, but in some ways we do. And so we at this point is slated to get fixed in 2025. I know that seems like years and years away. And, I mean, it's not as if we can't patch it at times and do things to make it more drivable. We don't want to wreck cars and damage vehicles as they drive on our major streets.
Do you, you know, I've had some conversations about these results where, the top result being city streets, it's sort of like, well, yeah, of course. I mean, almost like that would be almost any community's response. Is that kind of like almost sort of like, yeah, we know, but let's move on to the juicier topics?
That's you're hitting some great questions. So I would say, first of all, you know, the reason why this survey is so valuable, and it was the first time we've done this as a city, and there are many cities around the country that do it. So now we can put ourselves on the roadmap of where we fit relative to other communities.
Yeah.
And so we can compare. And so that was one of the categories where appearance of quality of city streets, we were 20% below the national average.
Mm-hmm.
So that says, so there's something there. It's true.
Yeah.
City streets are expensive, and, you know, more affluent communities can have pristine streets.
Yeah.
we're not as affluent. We're trying to move in that direction, but it takes time. And, you know, we could talk about some of the initiatives that we're doing to get there. But in the meantime, you know, we can give what we can, and we have. And so I can tell you, this survey is getting noticed by the council, right? There's already counselors who are recommending changes to our budget for 2023 in light of this. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's really important, because I've been on the council a long time. That's not something we've seen, because we didn't really have a tool that clarified for us what we needed to do. Now, in the same vein, though, and you hit it, you know, we could have the best city streets in the world, right? But if we neglected every other area of our community, we'd have problems, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to look at quality of life issues, and the survey gets at that, particularly looking at park and rec issues and things like that. And, you know, interestingly and maybe a little bit surprisingly, but not from my vantage point, but I think from some of the counselor's vantage point, some of the things that were noted there, right, have to do with providing activities for seniors, providing activities for youth. You know, I've heard that over and over again. And we knew, because we're you know, you'll hear more about this over the next few months, is the community center idea really coming to fruition. And we were glad to see that there was overwhelming support for community center in this survey. 62% have favored it. And then the question is, well, what kind of community center? So then we ask questions about how much money we should put towards such a project. And there are quite a few residents that understand that to make that a workable project and a vital entity in our community, it's going to cost money. Yeah. And it's going to be an investment for the future. And so I was really excited about that aspect of the survey, too, because you don't know. You know, this is a scientifically supported survey, and we could talk about that in a moment. But in that vein, I mean, we have to take this seriously. This is not just, did we survey a few people at the coffee house? You know, this is much more different. This is much different than that, and that's why we put the money towards it. I mean, this wasn't free, right?
Yeah.
And it had to take a commitment of our council to pony up the money for this survey, so that we could have information to move forward.
As far, real quick, on the community center, I know you didn't get, you got some feedback, and saw there was support for it, and certain, I guess I'm saying, based on the survey, are there certain guidelines you now have, like, we don't want to go over a certain dollar amount, or this is the kind of idea? Are there any more, have you tightened up at all, kind of the vision, I guess, for a community center?
Well, you know, in parallel. So there are a lot of things. This summer was extremely busy, right? We're hiring a new city manager who starts next week.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. I mean, Mr. Smith's going to see this, and hopefully he's digesting it already.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm sure he'll have his thoughts, not only to us, but also to his new employees.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing all the various things. You know, we had to work through the Hawthorne Pool initiative and got that financially supported for the future, and that's exciting. That'll be opening up next spring, and we're also hopefully having more programming there. And concert, we got this. So it's been a very active summer. I tell people, ask me how my summer went, and I said, well, it was wonderful, but I didn't get a vacation.
Right.
And so that seems like a paradox, but it was, because I felt like I was working on initiatives that are going to change this community in a positive way. As far as the community center goes, we also had to work through that. So we came up with, okay, we asked the council, what are some ideas of other locations? Obviously, the city owns the old Churchill Junior High, and that's a possible location. But are there other locations, you know, and what's the size? Obviously, Churchill's a large building. So if it's too big for our community center, you know, maybe there's some other places, maybe it's you know, not in the right location, right? And so we went into, what are the specific amenities in such a center? What kinds of programming do we want? And so the consultant we work with, Farnsworth, met with all the counselors. I think it was two at a time over the course of about a month. And then we've been going through multiple drafts of that report and critiquing it. And some of that was in a work session recently. Yeah. So, but the survey was independent of that. And what the survey tells us is what the community wants in such a center. And I'm looking at the results. So senior center was the most has the highest, 58%, I believe, supported that as one of the top eight entities that they wanted. Second, close behind was Teen Center. Third, close behind that was one-stop location for social and supportive services. Next to that was daycare for children. Right behind that was a permanent warming shelter. Behind that was, and I'll stop there, specific classes for people of all ages. And so, I'd love to come back and talk about the community center at depth. I've thought a lot about it for about the last year. I mean, even beyond that, I've been doing my own research on community centers around the country and trying to get a gauge on, you know, what would be best for Galesburg. Because it is it's a big initiative, and it's going to require a big lift. But if you're going to do it, let's do it right. Sure. And this survey allows us to look at the community and ask them, if we could dream, what would we need? What are the critical things we need in there? And we're hearing from them. So recognizing that teens and seniors need a place to cohabitate and to get things done and learn new things, and is that's my vision, a major part. So to see it reflected in the survey, and we had 18 things. So these lifted to the top, you know, and I think the council understands that. Now, daycare was number 4 or 5. That's a big lift.
Sure.
And so what we've been doing, even prior to knowing this, because we've heard from the community, we've been going to, there are daycare providers in Galesburg, and we're asking them, you know, where do you stand? What is your need? Do you have a waiting list? Are you expected to expand in the near future? These kinds of things. And so one of the things I really want to emphasize, the city more than ever in my time working in this, you know, as a city elected person, is trying to make sure that we don't duplicate services, and we're a complementary entity. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to control things. We're trying to complement the needs and the provision of needs. And so this is the conversations that have to happen, and they're beginning to happen. And so, you know, ROE 33 is involved, the school district's involved, Carl Sandburg's involved, Knox College is getting involved, we're going to have a new library here in the near future. Yeah. There's just a lot of excitement, but in order to do it right and to do it effectively and do it, you know, at the lowest cost, because costs are high these days, we have to communicate, because if we don't, we're going to just throw money at solutions that may not stick, and that's irresponsible government.
Yeah. Well, we'd love to have you on soon to talk more about the community center. But as far as the survey goes, I wanted to talk a little bit about how you can receive these as valid. Talk a little bit about what the company did and kind of even some of your professoring, if you'd like, to let us know that we can have some confidence in these results.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I do teach statistics on occasion at Knox College, and I've enjoyed that. I love math, and although I don't teach math regularly, I'm a professor of environmental studies. This gives me opportunity to remind myself of the power of statistics. Yeah. And it's hard for people to really understand how you can survey, in this case, 433 people or residences, not people, in a community of this size with 13,000 residences, and expect to get good information. Well, you have to do that via what's called random sampling. So they sent out 4,000 surveys to, that's about a third of residences received a letter, and then about 10% of those responded to that letter. Okay, I mean, rough numbers, but pretty close. So how is it possible that those 10% of that one third could speak for Galesburg? Well, if you pick your random sample of homes properly, then you're going to get a good representation. And we confirm this, how good a representation. So they, in the data, they looked at a racial makeup of the responders. Extremely consistent with what we know from the census data.
So if it's like 20% African-American in Galesburg, the sample is 20% African-American.
Exactly. And in fact, this is how close it was. So African-American survey was 12.9%, round to 13. Mm-hmm. In the the census data says 13.9. So
that's pretty close.
Okay. Hispanic or Spanish or Latino, 7.4 versus 7.7. I mean, you can't get close. It's almost impossible to get closer than that. Another thing we looked at was age, right? So looking at representation of age, and we get, and you had to be 18 or older to fill out the survey.
Yeah.
But we have good representation across all age groups, which is really important. Female, male, literally 50-50 based on the data, which is consistent with what we know about the community. Income, which, you know, does, you know, you might think, well, only people who are wealthy are going to fill the survey out, right? Or, you know, or whatever. You know, people have different sites, perspectives on this. And we know there's a lot of there's a lot of different incomes in this community. Yeah. Well, incomes between 30,000 and 60,000, that's 29% of the survey respondents. Under 30,000, right? 25%. So, okay. Between 60,000 and 100,000, 24%. So you can see it's a really nice breakout. And so that, and then we look at it geographically. And in fact, I have data, wasn't provided on Monday, but I have data about the wards. They even broke it down at ward level. And so we know we have good representation across the community. And that gives us confidence that, because, you know, even scientific surveys, for whatever reason, might have a some kind of failing point. They may be, I don't know, maybe, you know, historically some community, part of the community was surveyed to death. And so they just, they don't believe surveys or they don't trust them. And so they don't respond. I mean, that can happen. That can happen. It doesn't appear that's true, which is, I'm happy to see, because I know at Knox College, historically, we tend to survey lots of people, the students survey lots of people around the college.
Yeah.
And they get surveyed. Abuse, you know, you might say, but I don't see that reflected in these numbers, and that's good. And it makes us feel like we want to, you know, as elected officials, especially me, you know, I'm representing the whole community. And so I can't speak for one group versus the next and say, well, I prioritize them over them. I can't. So this survey allows us to look at all the entire community as a whole and then, and act upon it.
This might be a hard question to answer, to kind of wrap in a quick answer, but, you know, some of those maps on the questions, there's a lot of uniformity, but there's some where some wards and precincts will answer, you know, very positive or decently positive. And the same question people are negative on in different parts of the city. And some of it makes sense. There may be like something like streets, but I think there are questions about education, good place to retire, things like that, where there's some difference. How do you kind of approach some of those issues, knowing certain neighborhoods they say bad, certain neighborhoods they say good?
Well, that's a really good question, too. I think, you know, as a representative of a ward, which I was for 10 years, you know, I would hone in on my region, you know, ward, on my geographic area.
Sure.
And because those are the people who are voting for me, right, or not, right? Those are the people I represent at that level. And so I hope all the counselors are looking at the geographic data.
Yeah.
Now, when I look at it as a whole, I'm looking at the whole city. So I'm looking at the composite values more than I am the individual regions. Now, on the other hand, when a counselor comes forward to me or, you know, to the rest of the council and says, look, my constituents feel there's unmet need in this one area. And I feel like we need to change the budget to reflect that. Like maybe there's we don't have a park, or maybe there's, like you said, streets are in a worse shape, or, you know, that's a legitimate claim. And now they have, it's not just people they speak to, which I think is still a legitimate source of information, but they have a scientific study that can defend their position. Yeah. And I hope when we come to the table, you know, the council votes. So seven of them vote. And, you know, this is in Chicago with 50 wards or 50 areas and 50 all. You can just imagine how hard it is for one of them to convince the other 49 to support an initiative in their district.
Yeah.
We have seven, so it's a little better. Closer to you're closer to politics. You're closer to the people that represent you. So if you're one of seven, you still have to pitch. You still have to make a pitch, and hopefully that the pitch can be stronger and can be validated by the information provided here. Mm-hmm. And that's the value here. So we're going to be doing this survey probably every 2 years for a while. Because we believe that it we want to look at progress, and we're going to be making some changes in some investments. And so how are those investments reflected in people's feelings about the city. Some of these questions are more, we might call, qualitative, right? They're not, it's hard to say, well, do you feel safe? Well, and you know, yes, I feel safe. No, I don't. Or I sort of feel safe at times. You know, there's different, there's a gradation there that's hard to pinpoint. But we're looking for, are there improvements there? You know, so how are we going to improve on community policing, which is in our strategic plan? I should also point out, right, so in February, we passed a strategic plan with 23 goals. And now we didn't have this data at that time. So, of course, you know, you could ask, is the horse before the cart kind of thing. I think this helps support many of the strategic plan initiatives, but it also might call into question, you know, prioritizing which of those 23 get the most most support, like initially. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it's in the budget. And it's not just in the money and the numbers, but it's also in how we talk about it and what we talk to our constituents about, you know. And one of the things that we wanted to know in this survey was, is the city communicating well with the community? Mm-hmm. It's so important. And yet, you know, we see opportunities for improvement, and we're going to be tracking that improvement. So we're going to be trying to communicate in new ways. Perhaps it's a newsletter, perhaps it's more social media exposure, things like this. And with that, we hope to see improvements in those. We did well, but we could do better. And, you know, one of the things I actually looked at last night is the national figures, like who's the top, like which communities are the top, get the highest ratings in these different categories. And that's information we have access to because we're part of this community of communities, which is really great.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the bar's pretty high in some places. It was a little intimidating to look at that.
I'm sure. But,
and, you know, of course, some of these things can be handled through money, just access to money. So if you're an affluent community, you know, money is never an option. I mean, never an issue, right? Yeah. In our community, we have to prioritize, and we do have quite a bit of money and support, and we have community foundation, and we have other entities and a lot of nonprofits that do amazing work here that makes us as vital as we are. But, you know, we have to think at the city level, you know, which of these programs are going to get the resources this year? And which is going to make the most impact? And that's a tough question, but that's makes our life fun and challenging.
Yeah. Any other, just wrapping up, final thoughts? Anything else you'd like to?
Well, I'm so glad we're able to talk about this. Yeah. I mean, and this isn't the final thought here. I mean, people are digesting this. This information's available at the city website. We hope to have further conversations. I mean, we're going to have workshops, or what we call work sessions, on some of these topics. One, to communicate to the community what we're doing, but also to allow the counselors to digest this and get input from their constituents so they can move forward. And Mr. Smith, our new city manager, can't emphasize, there'll be a reception for him next Monday. Hope people can come out a little early to the council meeting and meet him. He's going to be engaged. When we did our extensive search, that was one of our major criteria. We wanted a city manager who was visible and mm-hmm. who knew people and who went to events and, you know, became a critical and important part of our community. And what a better thing to do is to hand them a scientific survey to say, look, these are the needs of the community. And so he can, you know, who hasn't lived here before can say, okay, now I know what the people are saying. Now, you know, let's see how we can get the forces of the 200 plus employees in our city kind of working on these initiatives, and then getting the council to express to him what the priorities are and how to you know, maneuver the budget and move things around so that we can get things done. And that's accountability, right? So to me, a government is only as good as its level of accountability. And I strive for that. And I'm always willing to take suggestions. I mean, I get my phone number, everybody knows it if they want, it's public. I get a lot of calls, I get a lot of messages, a lot of emails, and I filter those through. It's a lot of information, but I think we're working on, we're on the right track. I'm real excited about the future for Galesburg. And I think that, I'll just close, I think that's reflected in the numbers. There's a lot of naysayers on the internet, but when you look at the data, scientifically driven, right, we, in terms of Galesburg as a place to live, we are above the national average, 10%, which is significant. And so we should be proud of that. and it's only upwards and onwards from here.
Yeah, if you look at the numbers, there's some things that are like, oh, we need to work on that. There's a lot of things that make you feel pretty good about Galesburg, too, if you look at the numbers. So
definitely.
Yeah. Appreciate your time, Mayor. Thanks
so
much.
Thank you so much.